My name is Mark Metz, and I'm the Carver County Attorney. Also present are Peter Ivey, Chief Deputy County Attorney, Sheriff Jim Olson, and Chief Deputy Sheriff Jason Kamrud. Today, I announce my decision on whether the Carver County Attorney's Office will file criminal charges related to the death of Prince Rogers Nelson. The Carver County Sheriff's Office completed their investigation and submitted their reports to my office. This investigation was a coordinated and comprehensive one among several federal, state, and local agencies. I want to thank the United States Attorney Greg Brooker and the United States Attorney's Office and the various federal, state, and local agencies. They have been tremendous partners throughout. I also want to recognize Sheriff Jim Olson and the Carver County officers for their professionalism, competence, and tireless pursuit of the facts. Before announcing my decision, I must talk about my fundamental role as a prosecutor. As the Carver County Attorney, I only have jurisdiction to file criminal charges that occur in Carver County. My primary ethical duty as the Carver County Attorney is to seek justice within the bounds of the law, not merely to convict. I serve the public interest and must exercise balanced judgment to both pursue appropriate criminal charges based on the evidence and also by exercising discretion to not pursue criminal charges under appropriate circumstances. Therefore, I seek to protect the innocent and convict the guilty, consider the interests of the victims and the witnesses, and respect the constitutional and legal rights of all persons, including suspects and defendants. I am mindful that this is a most unusual and extraordinary case involving a world-famous celebrity, but I cannot factor Prince's celebrity status and tremendous fame into the charging decision. The charging decision must be based on the legal merits and actual evidence adduced, not any particular bias in favor or disfavor of a particular celebrity or public figure. In considering a criminal charge, I must have evidence demonstrating probable cause that a certain crime was committed and there is a reasonable likelihood of conviction based on admissible evidence sufficient to prove the case beyond a reasonable doubt. Proof beyond a reasonable doubt is the highest burden in American law. For the past 2 years, law enforcement from the Carver County Sheriff's Office, the federal and state agencies have conducted an extensive, painstaking, and thorough investigation into Prince's death. Their investigation has been extraordinary. The investigation has determined the following. On April 21, 2016, Prince died from an overdose of fentanyl. Fentanyl is a very powerful synthetic opioid that is 30 to 50 times more potent than heroin and 50 to 100 times more potent than morphine. The evidence demonstrates that Prince thought he was taking Vicodin and not fentanyl. Vicodin is an opioid painkiller containing hydrocodone and acetaminophen. Vicodin is used to manage severe pain. The evidence reveals that Prince had experienced significant pain for a number of years and had been taking pain medication for a number of years. The evidence taken from Paisley Park revealed a large number of pill bottles containing different medications and pills. A significant number of the pills found by law enforcement at Paisley Park were not in the original container provided by a pharmacy. For example, law enforcement located numerous white capsule pills with Watson 853 imprinted on the pills inside Paisley Park. Like Vicodin, Watson 853 is a legitimate preparation made by Watson Pharmaceuticals containing hydrocodone and acetaminophen. A number of different pharmaceutical companies make pills containing hydrocodone and acetaminophen. Many consumers refer generically to such pills as Vicodin. Notably, the evidence demonstrates that Prince had no known Vicodin or fentanyl prescription. 15 of the prescription pills that had the Watson 853 imprint on it were located in Prince's dressing room. Another 64 and a half of these pills were located inside a Bayer bottle, and 20 and a half pills were located inside an Aleve bottle on the nightstand next to Prince's bed. Another loose pill was located in Prince's bed. Prince did not die from a Vicodin or Percocet overdose. The toxicology report is clear that Prince died from an overdose of fentanyl. The evidence suggests that Prince took counterfeit Vicodin containing fentanyl on or about April 21, 2016. Unfortunately, the subject counterfeit Vicodin pills are an exact imitation of real Vicodin pills, but the counterfeit pills contain the potentially deadly opioid fentanyl. Representative samples taken from Paisley Park of the counterfeit Vicodin pills tested positive for fentanyl. Nothing in the evidence suggests that Prince knowingly ingested fentanyl. In addition, there is no evidence that any person associated with Prince knew Prince possessed any counterfeit pills containing fentanyl. In all likelihood, Prince had no idea he was taking a counterfeit pill that could kill him. Others around Prince also likely did not know that the pills were counterfeit containing fentanyl. There is no evidence that the pill or pills that actually killed Prince were prescribed by a doctor. There is also no evidence to suggest any other sinister motive, intent, or conspiracy to murder Prince. The evidence suggests that Prince had long suffered significant pain, became addicted to pain medications, but took efforts to protect his privacy. In fact, Prince did not even own a cell phone, and so that was one important piece of evidence that law enforcement was not able to examine. The investigation also revealed on April 7, 2016, Dr. Michael Schulenberg treated Prince at North Memorial Clinic in Minnetonka. Prince's assistant, Kirk Johnson, contacted Dr. Schulenberg and asked him if he would be able to see Prince because Prince had been experiencing numbness and tingling in his hands and legs and had vomited the night before. Dr. Schulenberg conducted a physical exam of Prince and then provided Prince with IV fluids. Dr. Schulenberg gave Prince two prescriptions for non-controlled substances, vitamin D and another drug to treat nausea. The doctor offered to see Prince again and conduct blood work if it was necessary. Dr. Schulenberg admitted to law enforcement that he put the prescription in Kirk Johnson's name in order to protect Prince's privacy. On April 14, 2016, Kirk Johnson contacted Dr. Schulenberg and asked the doctor if he would prescribe pain medication for Prince because Prince's hip was bothering him. Dr. Schulenberg stated that he felt comfortable prescribing Prince pain medication for Percocet because he had examined Prince the week before. He prescribed 15 pills of Percocet. Dr. Schulenberg's medical notes indicate that the patient called and was leaving for Atlanta for a concert shortly and hurt his back lifting equipment. He was wondering if he could get something to treat the pain. Dr. Schulenberg put the one-time prescription of the first 15 Percocet pills in Kirk Johnson's name at the request of Kirk Johnson because Prince wanted to protect his privacy and he did not want any narcotics issued in his name. Police located 10 of the 15 Percocet pills inside Prince's suitcase at Paisley Park as a result of their search warrant. On the evening of April 14th, 2016, Prince became unconscious while flying back to Minneapolis from a concert in Atlanta. The plane had to make an emergency landing in Moline, Illinois. At the airport, emergency medical services administered two doses of Narcan to resuscitate Prince. Prince was taken to the hospital and released that same day. No pills were tested by chemical analysis in Moline, but the evidence suggests that it is likely that Prince took a counterfeit Vicodin pill or pills with the Watson 853 imprint on it that was in a Bayer bottle. On Monday, April 18, 2016, Kirk Johnson told Dr. Schulenberg that he, Kirk Johnson, was concerned about Prince's opiate use. On Wednesday, April 20th, 2016, Dr. Schulenberg examined Prince again and took a blood sample. Prince stated that he was feeling antsy and asked about opiate withdrawal symptoms. Dr. Schulenberg administered IV fluids and provided a prescription for clonidine, a blood pressure medication that has been used to treat opiate withdrawal symptoms, and also a prescription for an antihistamine similar to Benadryl. That evening, Dr. Schulenberg spoke with Prince's management about arranging chemical dependency treatment for Prince. Prince's management then contacted a recovery center in California to assist Prince with his addiction. A representative from Recovery Without Walls in California traveled to Minnesota on April 21, 2016 to meet with Prince and management in order to get him help. On Thursday morning, April 21, 2016, Dr. Schulenberg communicated to Kirk Johnson that he had Prince's medical records and blood test results. Dr. Schulenberg agreed to meet Kirk Johnson at Paisley Park to drop off the test results. When Dr. Schulenberg arrived, rescue units were on scene. I repeat that Prince did not die from taking the prescribed Percocet, since Percocet contains oxycodone and not fentanyl. The evidence that Dr. Schulenberg prescribed Percocet for Prince in Kirk Johnson's name is not germane to the ultimate question I reviewed, which is who provided the counterfeit Vicodin with fentanyl to Prince. Despite the intensive law enforcement investigation, there is no reliable evidence showing how Prince obtained the counterfeit Vicodin laced with fentanyl, or who else may have had a role in delivering the counterfeit Vicodin to Prince. As part of the investigation, law enforcement completed forensic analysis on all digital evidence seized pursuant to search warrants. Despite their extensive efforts, law enforcement was unable to determine the source of the counterfeit Vicodin laced with fentanyl. Therefore, without probable cause and no identified suspect, the Carver County Attorney's Office cannot file any criminal charges involving the death of Prince. The fact that criminal charges are not brought certainly does not mean that some person or persons associated with Prince did not assist or enable Prince in obtaining the counterfeit Vicodin. After all, Prince somehow did come into possession of the pills, and the pills had to come from some source. There is no doubt that the actions of individuals around Prince will be criticized, questioned, and judged in the days and weeks to come. But suspicions and innuendo are categorically insufficient to support any criminal charges. Assigning blame by implication is not my role as the Carver County Attorney and as a prosecutor. My role is to make exacting legal determinations based on established and reliable facts, not to pass moral judgments. To ethically charge anybody with any crime requires probable cause plus a reasonable likelihood of conviction, noting that the threshold of proof in a criminal case is beyond a reasonable doubt to a unanimous jury. The bottom line is that we simply do not have sufficient evidence to charge anyone with a crime related to Prince's death. Because Prince was an intensely private person, he was certainly assisted and enabled by others to obtain some of these medications. Those individuals included, but are not limited to Dr. Schulenberg and Kirk Johnson. The evidence shows that they followed Prince's direction in maintaining his privacy. However, we have no direct evidence that a specific person provided the fentanyl to Prince. For every legal wrong, there is a remedy, but not every remedy is criminal in nature. Therefore, I am pleased to announce that the United States Attorney's Office for the District of Minnesota just issued a press release announcing a civil settlement with Dr. Schulenberg. We are pleased that the doctor is being held accountable for his actions in writing the prescription Percocet in Kirk Johnson's name. Because I am declining to file criminal charges, the law enforcement reports prepared by the Carver County Sheriff's Office now become public data under Minnesota law. These materials will be available for free download on the Carver County Sheriff's website in the next day or two. Individual data requests are therefore not required. While some portions of the law enforcement data may be redacted consistent with the law, the vast majority of the reports and photos are not redacted. Under Minnesota law, all data is presumed public unless some exception applies. Our state has a very open and transparent process as it relates to data, even criminal investigative reports and photos of crime scenes. This office must comply with the law, and therefore the reports and photos are public at this stage, since no charges are being filed. In regards to the autopsy reports, Minnesota law is very specific about data that a medical examiner is allowed to disclose. The law provides that the autopsy reports, which includes the toxicology reports, are considered private or non-public data under Minnesota law and therefore are not accessible to the public. I would like to conclude by stating that we are in the middle of an unprecedented and horrific epidemic of opioid overdoses in this country. Prince's death is a tragic example that opioid addiction and overdose deaths do not discriminate, no matter the demographic. We wish to express our sincere condolences to the family, friends, and vast legion of Prince's fans. Thank you.